Hi, Jason. Welcome to RegTech Impact. Jason, please introduce yourself.
Thanks very much for having me. I'm Jason Bowd, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called RegTech Associates.
How would you explain your job to your grandma or grandpa? Can you explain it?
Yes. That's a good question. Firstly, I think when you talk about technology and you talk about RegTech, most people's eyes glaze over. So I think generally I tell people that I'm a technologist. I work in financial services and in regulation. The second thing I talk about is my journey has been from working in large companies to 10 years ago, a sort of on what I describe as an entrepreneurial journey. So 10 years ago, I left the safety of working for a big bank and became an entrepreneur, became an investor and mentor. So I tell people generally I work in the technology sector, helping small companies to grow.
Yeah, excellent. We're talking about RegTech. May I ask you, when did you first hear the word RegTech?
2014, 2015. It was fairly embryonic then. But actually, that's the genesis of the company that I now run, RegTech Associates. I had just exited my last company, and I was looking at what I was going to do next and researching. And I love the phase of researching new opportunities. And I came across RegTech. I actually clearly remember seeing it in a post by a VC, a guy called Jean-Martin Mulder, and thinking, oh, okay, that really resonates with me because I have a background in technology and I've worked at a financial institution where everybody has their sort of introduction into regulation. So, yeah, it was 2014, sort of perhaps early 2015.
Interesting. How would you define RegTech? Do you have a definition?
Yeah, I've heard your definition, actually, and I like it as well. Ours is fairly open and fairly inclusive, and deliberately so, because actually I think that... So firstly, let me tell you my definition and I'll explain why. So We're quite simple. It's the use of technology to help regulated firms meet their regulatory obligations, so nice and open, because we've... 4 or 5 years ago, looking at how different people defined RegTech and subsequent subdivisions and definitions, you know, it's either completely aligned to financial services or it's cross industry, or some people break out RegTech and SupTech and other types of tech. For me, we want to keep the definition as broad as possible to capture as much as possible that fits into that remit. And then we subdivide the industry by using a taxonomy. So at the top level, we keep everything nice and open. And then we have our own taxonomy, which we're starting to collaborate with people in the industry to improve and use that taxonomy around the world. And our taxonomy allows us to then to subdivide RegTech into regulatory areas. So we use the regulatory area approach, financial crime, conduct, etc., for our taxonomy. Yeah, so a nice open definition from us.
Is there, what can I say, if we talk about RegTech, what I'm thinking about, what is the market size of RegTech? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I think that's a really difficult question to answer from if you start putting financial figures on it, right? So I'm going to give an answer that's based upon our research that we do. We actually research both the supply of regulatory technology into the market, i.e. the RegTech vendors and suppliers, and we also research the demand. So what do people that are buying and using and supporting the industry see as the demand? So I'm going to answer it from the supply side, because I think both supply and demand are connected, and supply can be a proxy for demand, is our view. So on the supply side, we're tracking about 1,300 different products that are identified and we identify as RegTech. And the US has been probably the leading creator of those products historically. And now the UK over the last few years has been catching up. But now we see pockets of real sort of RegTech innovation in, you know, all around the world. I think those 1,300 products, excuse me, are from about 1,000 different companies, and they are mapped into about 70 countries around the world. So there's, you know, it really is truly a global industry. 1,300 is quite small compared to perhaps an area like fintech, but still it's significantly grown from, I think that original list that I saw many years ago, 2015, was 100 companies. So we've seen a lot of growth over that period of time.
Interesting. Maybe can you tell me which three regions are leading in RegTech?
Good question. I think the as I said earlier, in terms of supply, probably the US, second Europe, and then thirdly, you know, Asia, Australia specifically. I think Australia in the last 3-4 years has seen a real surge in sort of RegTech demand and supply, but we're also seeing sort of pockets of sort of innovation and lots of companies being set up out of sort of Singapore and the Southeast Asia sort of area of the world. So I think they're the three areas. Now, what I would say is that my view is that those regions are developing at different rates. I think in Europe is perhaps a bit more mature and seems to have slowed down a little bit, whereas the US seems to have accelerated. There seems to be a lot of demand for RegTech solutions in the US right now, and that's backed up by seeing a lot of companies move into the US and expand and do really well.
Interesting, really interesting. But what do you think are the three major upcoming trends in RegTech?
For me, RegTech has the potential to change a lot in our world. But the three biggest ones for me are probably sustainability, fraud, and financial crime. I think reason I say sustainability, you know, the ESG sort of trend, the G of governance, but also the environmental and sustainability sort of items are sort of well documented. So I think we classify ESG into the RegTech sort of taxonomy, and fraud and financial crime, I think, are obvious, you know, in terms of protecting society and protecting the vulnerable. You know, those three areas probably for me are the ones that have the biggest potential for positive impact.
Interesting. Although you make the bridge between RegTech and society, that is very interesting.
Yeah, well, fundamentally, right, one of the reasons for regulation is to create a safe, you know, it's a safe society and safe financial services and, you know, other industries, and the consumer protection part of the regulation is, you know, is very important, as is, you know, protecting people from harm. You know, real financial crime isn't a faceless crime. It can really impact, you know, people that are vulnerable to protect themselves. So, you know, those topics are really important.
Interesting. Maybe one question for this topic. Did RegTech companies have always two customers? Also one, the normal customer, and the second are always the regulator. Can we say that?
I think certain RegTechs do, yeah. I mean, maybe not everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about something like onboarding and identity verification, you know, I'm not sure the regulators are customers of those types of companies. You know, they're interested in ensuring that those companies meet the regulations, but mm-hmm. You know, as far as I see, not every RegTech has the regulator as a customer, but certainly, you know, there's a lot of use cases where they do.
Yeah, interesting. Which topic should RegTechs work on? Do you have an idea?
You mean in terms of like what, you know, where are the trends and what are the topics yes. that are sort of incredibly interesting? Again, I think, you know, if we look at supply as a register of where the interest lies, you know, there's no doubt that financial crime is still one of the big areas. I think about a third of our research a third of the companies that we include in those 1,300 products are financial crime. Now, I guess I'd give two pieces of advice to anybody starting a RegTech company. Firstly is, you know, aim for the white space, right? So the fact that there's 400 plus RegTech companies focusing in financial crime, does that mean that there's a load of demand that's unmet, or does it mean that there's too much supply to meet the demand? So I think that's the first place for any company to start. Nevertheless, saying that, if you take, again, financial crime as an example, there's no shortage of fundraising to being made available to financial crime companies. Well, not no shortage. There are a lot of fundraisers for financial crime companies, I should say. So, but also I think sustainability and ESG is a really, really hot topic. The potential to take a lot of climate and other related data and make that available for a whole variety of use cases. I think we're just at the start of that growth in the ESG space. Lots of regulations either sort of in process or coming down around the world. So I think sustainability and financial crime will continue to be two of the sort of hot areas. I think anybody starting a company would be foolish at least not to look at what the opportunities are in those areas.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking about RegTech, and for me, it's what comes to your mind when you think about the positive impact of RegTech. Do we have any practical examples?
I think, again, like I sort of mentioned earlier, maybe sustainability and ESG are a good place to start. I think, you know, sustainability and climate change and the whole green finance move can be, maybe to the average consumer, can be a bit a case of who else, you know, somebody else needs to fix this problem. And so an area that I sort of particularly like at the moment is some of the RegTech solutions or FinTech solutions. Again, I'm not going to say whether they're FinTech or RegTech that do impact, that actually allow consumers to measure their impact. So if they're buying products or services, what are the impacts of those products and services on the climate? I think they're really positive impact sort of use cases. You know, whether that is when you buy a product through Amazon, seeing the impact of that product on the environment, whether you can analyze and track your spending through your bank and through things like open banking and doing impact analysis. It really puts some level of control back in the consumer's hands and makes them feel like they've got a part to play in addressing the climate issues that we're currently living with.
Interesting. But let's talk about established companies. And the question is, how or with what should a company start being active in RegTech as an established company?
You mean a supplier or you mean a buyer? Or is it?
It's a buyer. Doesn't matter. You can choose both.
As a buyer, I think it's getting harder for companies to select solutions based upon what they see just, you know, in marketing and on people's websites. So I think there's definitely each region, each market is sort of slightly different, but I think there's becoming a maturity in how some bigger companies assess RegTech and also understand their appetite for innovation versus, you know, choosing perhaps an established large technology supplier. Most of the RegTech companies are still relatively small. Now, there are obviously exceptions. There are some large, you know, if you took NASDAQ being a RegTech company, or even some of the companies like Refinitiv, you know, if you classify Refinitiv as a RegTech company, they're obviously huge, well-established companies and technology vendors, but most of them are actually probably less than 50 people. So I think the first place to start with any for a buyer is to actually understand your appetite for innovation or appetite for looking at small suppliers versus large suppliers. You know, unless you really start there, I think you'll spend a lot of time looking at the smaller end of the market when your organization is never going to buy a product from a company that has 10 or 20 or maybe even 50 staff. So I think that first point is probably the place to start. Secondly, is then really, really being clear on the use case you're solving. These sound like really obvious things, but I think there's a lot of people in the market are just looking to learn rather than having which is also fine, rather than having a very specific problem they're trying to solve. So having a very specific problem and knowing what you're looking for in terms of size of the companies are two really good starting points for me.
Absolutely. But who are the drivers in RegTech? I think
the drivers, I think they've changed, right? If you take things at the early stage post global financial crisis, I think the drivers for RegTech were, you know, meeting the huge onslaught of regulations that came out as a result of the global financial crisis. Many of those regulations were met by large companies by, solving the problem with people. And then the evolution from that started to look at automation, to automate those people processes that have been put in place as a result of the GFC. And I think we're now moving into like a second or third wave after that, which is much more about, you know, starting to use data, starting to use lots of data science and machine learning. But we're not quite there in terms of turning those, some of those experiments into sort of production. So I think the driver is still along that, you know, moving from people towards automation, towards using data science. And I think every organization is slightly different, but we're still on a bit of a journey into the data science world, really.
Mm-hmm. Maybe can Investor be a driver in RegTech?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a driver for most tech companies, mm-hmm. whether they focus on RegTech, FinTech, some other type of tech. I think I'm an investor. I've invested in a few technology companies, usually at an early stage as an angel investor. And certainly the investor journey and the investor payback for RegTech is probably a little bit different than some other marketplaces. I think RegTech is not something that matures in like 1 to 3 years. It's generally a longer cycle. It's also quite a specialist subject. So, you know, I think there's been a lot of large investment recently. I think there was a cybersecurity company, I forget the name, a couple of weeks ago that raised the largest ever Series A round. I think it was something like $550 million for a Series A, which is yes. Quite crazy. But I think investors are certainly, or sort of money and financing and investors, the money that is certainly a driver for RegTech, but I think it's a driver for all technology. And RegTech, investment in RegTech is, in my view, slightly harder to achieve a payoff. So that counts against RegTech companies sometimes when they go up against other type of technology companies for investment.
Mm-hmm. To be able to transform the RegTech function into the digital age, all parties of the global ecosystem, I mean public and private, should work together. Who globally are taking the lead in this? What's your opinion?
I think there's some good examples of where digital and RegTech and public-private partnerships come together. I'm not sure what the right, where the real success stories are at the moment, if I'm completely honest. So one of the things I was thinking about in this answer is the various identity, sort of identity verification, digital identity initiatives that are sort of taking place around the world. Invidium, for example, in the Nordics, and there's been one in Hong Kong and in different countries. I think they're good examples of where private companies are bought into joint ventures or partner with public organizations to create some utility. I'm not really sure that there's some amazing use cases yet, but I think when we look at certain things like digital identity and identity verification, they certainly lend themselves to needing to be solved on a regional and probably eventually at a global stage. The question is, I'm not entirely sure there is a single successful model for doing that exists yet.
Absolutely. What do you think is the future of RegTech? Do you have an idea about the future of RegTech?
That's a really good question. I think there'll be consolidation in the RegTech space, and there'll continue to be innovation. And if you like, those two are slightly conflicting. I think in certain areas, there's an oversupply of companies, and that will lead to an increasing amount of partnerships, an increasing amount of corporate development, merger and acquisition. And I think we're starting to see that. I hope that the larger companies buying the small ones doesn't restrict innovation. I think the other thing that will happen more is a closer partnership between regulators and private sector. I think regulators around the world have taken slightly hands-off approach, I think, and I think better outcomes could be achieved all round if regulators were more forward-thinking and more forward-acting in helping RegTech development around the world.
A good question, because I'm thinking how to achieve a collaboration with public sector as a RegTech startup. I mean, is there how we can achieve a collaboration with the public sector? Do I have any idea? I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. And I guess, you know, by their nature, regulators, public sector bodies are cautious and, you know, have a lot of governance in place. So a RegTech startup working, you know, needs to work very quickly, right? They have a limited amount of cash. They have a limited runway to achieve the recognition that their product is right for a specific case. So long cycles in establishing public partnerships and startup doesn't sit well together. Right. So I think the way that it could sit well together is that the organizations, the public sector organizations, are paying for that RegTech innovation at its early stage. And it's not necessarily an endorsement of a particular company, but it's a recognition that if you don't pay early stage RegTech companies for the work they do at an early stage, they won't continue to do that work because the dynamics of the financials are wrong, and that therefore maybe means that the public sector bodies can only work with established companies, which is fine. But it's if you just want large companies working with public sectors, then continue to work in the way you've always worked. If you want to continue and partner to get innovation, you need to figure out some way of making sure the early stage innovative RegTech companies can survive. And one way is to make sure they're paid for that work they do at an early stage.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, Jason. We talk a lot of interesting topics. Are there any other topics that we should definitely discuss today?
I've got a question whether, you know, will RegTech as a particular label, will it even exist in 5 or 10 years' time? Yeah, does regulation and RegTech become embedded into all technology that, you know, that works in certain industries? I mean, I think some of the work we've done is starting to look at RegTech in other industries outside of financial services. And I think, you know, when we look at areas like data privacy that go cross industry, when we look at areas and other industries, you know, the sustainability and carbon sort of reporting regulations span all industries, not just financial services. It's almost like, does RegTech become embedded into technology that serves those other industries. So it's, you know, I'm sort of intrigued as to what will really happen. Will RegTech even exist in 10 years' time, or will it just be the maturing of RegTech be that your RegTech features are part of your technology product if you serve pharmaceutical, if you serve automotive, if you serve financial services?
An interesting question. I mean, somebody told me that they already have RegTech, but they don't call it RegTech. They just call it as a risk tool for them.
Yeah.
They just call them risk tool.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very interesting point. And that is also the definition of RegTech. What is RegTech? And of RegTech impact, it's more the impact, because we should talk more about the impact of RegTech. Mm-hmm. And I think in your question, RegTech will be still alive if we think about the impact and don't talk about what is RegTech, because everybody knows RegTech, but the impact is important. And as you mentioned it, this is something which the society are getting benefits of that. And if you can show them, I think that is a great impact. Absolutely. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. I think the it's a good point about the risk. Again, you know, this subdivision of RegTech and RiskTech, I mean, we're starting to, we already have companies that would label themselves as RiskTech in our research, but we're actually going to more formally combine RiskTech and RegTech together in our taxonomy and in our research later this year, early into next year, and we're doing some exciting work around that. So I think you're right. If you start to focus on the outcomes, and you start to focus on the impact, and you know it's less important whether this company is a RegTech or a RiskTech. I think, however, what the buyers or often the industry do need is at least when they're looking at something in the market, sometimes the labels help them identify.
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking about financial crime, well, do we have a common sort of understanding? Is fraud in financial crime? Is it outside of financial crime? Is financial crime just stuff that's related to FATF, or is it something else? So I think there is some usefulness in having this labeling. But I agree with you, if we can focus on the impact, then the label is less important.
Absolutely. Finally, the last question. What would you do if you were not working in your industry?
Wow, that's a great question. Firstly, my health, my family are very important to me. So I think anybody that's, you know, I'm nearing the last sort of quarter of my career, more senior in my years than many others. But I think I'm really happy through my career that I've gone through a variety of different roles, and I've learned so much in the last decade moving towards and working with some great entrepreneurs. I'm not finished yet, but when I am, I guess one thing I would do is sort of focus more on my family. I'm personally big into swimming at the moment. There's a bunch of RegTech people coming together for a charity swim in September. So I'm busy training for that. So health and fitness and family are probably my thing that I'm focusing in if I'm not going to work in the RegTech industry. Other than that, in terms of the professional side, I've started over the last decade doing a lot of mentoring, a lot of investing, and now started on my advisory career, sit on a couple of advisory boards. That's fantastic because you get an opportunity to bring back some of your experience you've learned through your career to others that are just starting out. And I really, really enjoy that aspect of what I do today.
Absolutely. Jason, thank you to be my guest on RegTech Impact. I would say bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for having me.